Is that on, Jeremy? Is that on? No? Is that on, Philip? You turning that up? Can you turn it up a little bit? Turn it up a little bit. There we go. I'll hear myself for a minute. All right, we're going to move quick today. Amen. Not because we're in a hurry, but I'm just going to move. Amen. All right. Got my first amen. We've been a roll. All right. If you have your Bible, open up Colossians chapter 3. All right, no, I'm kidding. I'm not doing that. If we're in that big a hurry, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. So, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Kurt, it'll be March the 7th. Is that the first Friday? First Friday of the month, 5:30 in the morning at the farmer's market. Me and my wife are going to be there unless she hadn't looked at her calendar yet. I'm going to be there, and so I imagine she'll be there. So if whoever wants to come and help, the Bible says faith without works is dead. And I know some of y'all work, but a lot of you, maybe you can plan that, or maybe you're not working on a Friday. We'll go down there and be a part of that. It's before work. Yeah, we can do that. That's true. Well, how long does it take? 8 o'clock. Even if you come and you got to cut out a little bit early to go to work, it'd be a blessing for you and everybody else around you. All right, Colossians chapter 3. I just planned a simple, shorter message for you. So you don't have to turn there. Revelation chapter 4. I want to talk to you about what we do for His glory. What we do for the glory of God. So in Revelation 4:11, it said, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things," and I want you to get this last part. This is KJV, okay? "And for your pleasure, they are and were created." Amen. He created all things, and for whose pleasure? Not for my pleasure, His pleasure. I was created, and you were created. And I want to say this when I start reading this. I'm going to read this first part. Don't cut me off until you see what I'm going to say, okay? So a lot of people like to talk about miracles and they're moved by stories of the supernatural. We're gathered here today and thinking about this. People apart from Jesus, you remove Jesus from your life altogether. That's what I'm talking about when I read this. Without Christ in our life, we would be self-centered, prideful, arrogant, alcoholics, drug addicts, murderers, thieves, hateful, spiteful, backbiting, abusive, let me get my breath, hurtful, perverted, money grubbers, gossipers, destructive, adulterers, devil worshipers who live for our pleasure and our glory. That's what we would be without Jesus. Oh, I wouldn't be that. Yes, you absolutely would be that. If you can't agree with that, now you're self-righteous. Add to it. The Bible points out that everyone in here, and that was just my list. Everyone in here. So, well, I would never kill anybody. Have you ever hated anybody? Because Jesus said, if you hate somebody, it's the same as murder. I'm talking about His holiness, not our holiness as a standard. Amen. So when you look at this, you go, do you realize the fact that we are gathered together to show love to one another, to express love to the Lord by singing to Him, by praising Him, by giving to the Lord, by listening to His word? We're gathered to pray for one another, to serve one another, to encourage, to forgive one another, and to reach out to people who are still in the first group. And to live out each and every day for His pleasure, not just Sunday, but each and every day, we live out for His pleasure and for His glory. Now, let me ask you, do you realize how great of a miracle this gathering is? Sometimes we look and we talk about miracles. The only way this is made possible, because I promise you, this group of people would never get together outside of Jesus. We wouldn't make it. There are way too many alpha males in this group. And I guess there's alpha females if there's such a thing, but what I am saying is, the only way this is made possible is by the love of Jesus. That's the only way. The greatest miracle you will ever experience. And I shared this yesterday with the inmates out there. Oftentimes when we talk about miracles, we we have our own thought process and we have our own thing. But the greatest miracle anyone will ever experience is what it talks about in Ezekiel chapter 36, where God said, I will take out that old stony heart from you and I will put a heart of flesh, the heart of Jesus in you, and I will cause you to walk in my commands and keep my statutes. God's greatest miracle is that he raises your dead spirit to life by what he does, not we've done, and he installs his presence in us, his love in us, and that's what causes us to come together to go, we as God's people recognize that, holy by God's grace, nothing we do, nothing we deserve, and we want to live for his glory. Does that make sense? And so in that, I want to talk to you. Last week we got into talking about the love of Jesus, and I wanted to talk to you about that a little bit more today. Start off with this. Love is not a feeling. Love's not a feeling. It's a miracle from God. Love's not a feeling. A lot of times we go by what we feel, but here's the thing. You know, above all else, whatever cost in our life, we want to honor the Lord Jesus. If you're here and say, I'm a born-again believer, inside of you, there's a desire. If there's not, you're probably not born again. But there is a desire for us to honor Jesus, to speak of the Lord, to glorify his name, to direct attention to him, and to make him known. That's what we should have in our hearts as God's people. And oftentimes I hear a lot of things preached and taught in churches, and it's almost like a self-help. We've got such a movement in America where we've turned Christianity to where the whole focus is on the people sitting there in the crowd. And I'm all about encouragement and edification and equipping, but I'm like, ultimately, the best thing we can do is to die to ourselves. Say, how do I fix depression? Die to yourself. How do I fix frustration? Die to yourself. How do I fix purposeless living? Die to yourself and let Christ be the life in you. Jesus isn't depressed. He's not angry. He's not upset. He's not unforgiving. And if we let him live in us and through us, he fixes everything. Right. This is about his glory. Right. It's about his glory. And so the key way that I can do that is to love just like him. So if love isn't a feeling, what is a love? And I'm going to get to the scripture in just a second, but I'm fixing to read one before we go to Colossians. Think about this. The Bible says God is love. God is love. I'm not talking about Hollywood love. And there are different aspects of love. There is a natural love the Bible speaks of. That natural love, for instance, would be the love that God places in the heart of a mother or even both parents for a baby. I mean, Jacob and Taylor was talking about they ain't getting no sleep and they got that new baby and all that. I promise you, they don't feel like loving that baby at 2 a.m. If we want to be honest, y'all know what y'all have. There's times with a teenager, you don't feel. You feel like beating them. You don't feel like loving them. But you know what? God's put a natural love in us that he just puts there that causes us to do that. That's not the love I'm talking about. Okay, the love I'm talking about is a supernatural love. It's the nature of God. It's his presence and the action of the Holy Spirit within believers because God is love. Think about this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. This is the kind of love Jesus is speaking of when he's preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, before that it says, it's been said to you, love your neighbors as yourself and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. I want y'all to just let this soak in. This is not a suggestion, or hopefully one of these days you'll get it. It's a command from headquarters. Love your enemies. Why did Jesus give such commands to where you go, how is that possible? You know, sometimes he allows things to squeeze us because we think, man, I'm a loving dude, and I got all this stuff, and all of a sudden, oh, you're really that loving, then I want you to love your enemies. You're like, hold on. And he's like, you got a lot of growing to do, but I want to show you that my grace can cause you to come to this place if you'll walk with me. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Bless means to speak well of. It means when people speak evil of you and curse you. Jesus said, I want you to love them like that. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to speak well of them. I want you to do good too. Do good to those who do good to you. No, that's natural love. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't always feel like that. I don't feel like when people hate on me, to me doing good for them. I don't feel like blessing those who curse me. But here's the thing, it's not about a feeling. It's not about a feeling at all. So how do we grow in love like that? Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. You go, here's the thing, I want my life to honor Jesus above all else. And love like that is a choice. Because I'll say this, talking to born again believers, you have Christ living in you. That love is in you and you have full access. Full access. You can choose at any moment, listen to me, under any circumstance, we can choose to go, I'm going to choose to act on love. I'm going to choose to speak out of love. I'm going to choose to pray out of love. I'm going to choose to show love. That's a choice. If you are controlled by your emotions, you are controlled by the flesh, and the flesh leads to destruction. You understand? Because if you're waiting around and go, hey, you know, and that's why people go, sometimes time, and I realize time helps sometimes, but if you're just waiting on time to fix you, what you're doing is, I'm hoping one of these days I'll quit feeling like this. If you choose to love first, you'll quit feeling like that a whole lot quicker. And so Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, how do we grow in love like this? You've got to go to war. You've got to go to war. 3:8 says, but now you yourselves are, wait, let me get you a little background here. It says in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died. You died, and your life is hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death. You got to go to war with your flesh. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Notice that part of this list is what I got from the scripture. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is an idolatry. And he's talking to believers there. He's like, this stuff is in our flesh. We still have this in our nature, even though you've been saved. And then he goes on and says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself, underline, once walked when you lived in them. God doesn't deal with us according to wrath or according to the sons of disobedience. Now we've been given the authority or the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. He deals with us very differently. And because of that grace that we've been shown and because of that mercy we've been shown, God says, I want you to work out of the account of grace and not out of the account of your flesh, because your flesh is dead to God. Y'all, boy, y'all are quiet this morning. Y'all still hung up on the first part I read, ain't you? Okay. Here's what I want you to get. Verse 8 says, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these. So what does God want you to take off? Your outside clothing, your flesh. He wants you to live your life from the inside out. And there's a lot of believers who are still living your life from the outside in. You respond to things that happen to you. You're impacted and all this by outward circumstances. God's like, that's living in the dead world. I want you to be the influence. I want to live your life from the inside out. And he goes on, he says, put these off, anger. You know, if you got one that God goes, bing, underline it, all right? Bing, we go right there, right off the bat. Wrath. Malice, that means to want to do evil towards people. Blasphemy, amen. Filthy language. Let me clarify, filthy language in the Bible when it talks about, it's not just talking about cussing and that kind of stuff, even though that's filthy language. Filthy language is gossip, backbiting, whispering, yeah, all those things, okay? And if we're all honest, we just want to be honest and not put on self-righteous, we all wrestle with all of these. We all struggle with all these. But here's the thing, you can win the battle. We don't just make excuses. Go, well, we all do that. I'm like, no, he says put it off. And if he tells us to do it, that means it's possible. We can do it. We can do this by the power of God's grace. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now here's the thing. I want you to understand, when you've studied the Bible, you'll see that Satan has always desired to be well, like God. He actually said, I want to be like the Most High. I want to ascend above God. So think about this. It's not all about us, about what God's looking at us. It's about if you're going to bring God honor and glory, and you say, I want my life, my language, the way that I live to honor Jesus, he's worthy of that. You have to settle whether you believe that or not. But when you come to the place to believe that, you got to recognize you have got a target on you, because Satan hates for us to give God the glory that's due to his name. You know why? He wants that glory. He wants that glory. And just like the Holy Spirit pours into us and Christ, you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that the Holy Spirit is poured in our heart. The love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Satan wants to pour in too. I want you to think about this. Satan wants to pour in too. He wants to pour in and fill you for one purpose, to dishonor and to defame the name of Jesus. You see, because when think about this, the Lord said, whatever you have done unto them, you do unto me. That means if me and Nathan get cross and I go to tearing him down, even when he's not around, and I go to spewing out that vomit out of my mouth, you know what I'm doing? I'm defaming the name of Jesus. Say the spirit of Satan, I'm not talking about being possessed by, you're not possessed as a believer, but you can be oppressed and you can allow it. You have to allow him that authority in your life. And what he wants to do is he wants to take control of your mouth. First, he has to take control of your heart, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He wants to put these things in our heart, then he wants to speak to our mouth. Why? Because God's not honored by that. Especially when his people live and act in such these ways. God's dishonored by that. And so we have to determine who we want to honor, and then we have to carry out the garbage and make room for a new feeling. You know, because all this stuff you look at, this is our flesh, the Bible says, just garbage. The things that our natural man wants to do never honors the Lord. And so notice what we replace it with. You know, that's where repentance and confession comes in. So how do I get rid of that stuff? Take it to the Lord. Go, Lord, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. Right now, I'm just hating on Chad. You know, the other day I was in church, and why about he didn't even talk to me? You know what that caused me to do? Out of my pridefulness, it caused me to start hating on him. I think I deserve to be recognized. I think I deserve to be talked to. I think I deserve to be noticed, and he didn't even notice me. Am I talking to people? You know, and because of that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go tell Mark, you know, Chad, that dude's so stuck on himself. Here I am, you know, preaching him every week. He walked by church, he didn't even talk to me. And we might think that's foolish, but those little foolish things are where the devil goes, let me go to work. Let me go to work. That's where he gets a strong arm in our life. You know what? You look back a couple of verses later this week, and it says that Christ disarmed principalities and powers. How did he do it? By demonstrating his unconditional sacrificial love for us on the cross. That's how you break the stronghold of the devil. Love disarms principalities and powers. Love disarms darkness. Amen. Is what love does. And you can choose that. I can choose to go, maybe Chad was having a bad day. Maybe Chad is hating on me. Maybe I'm going to overcome evil with good. Maybe I'm going to love him more than what I do right now. And I'm going to show him that. And I'm going to pray for that to him. And I'm going to speak that to him. And I'm going to overcome what the devil wants to do to dishonor the Lord in my life. Amen. And so in that, he says, therefore, say the first thing you need to do is you need to live out what you've been given. You need to become who you are. God's not saying, try harder. What he's saying is you need to recognize you ain't living out what I've given you. You're not becoming who you are. It's not who you're trying to be. He's like, you already are. You already are what? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. He's like, the reason you can love, because you are loved. You received love. And you are holy. That means you are set apart. Doesn't mean you walk around in white and you're perfect. Holy means you've been set apart unto God, consecrated, sanctified for the Lord and his glory. I've been set apart to live my life in a way that brings glory and honor to God. And I'm loved even when I act like that towards Chad. So think about this. Each one of these that it speaks of here, what are we to put on? Put on tender mercies, kindness. When Brother Kurt was up here speaking and you felt that inside when he's talking about the lady who had about $487, whatever it was, $437. You know what happened when your heart went, man, That's called tender mercy. It's like, man, you know what God does that for? Man, I need to do something about that. God gives you that compassion in your heart. Put that on. Kindness, humility, meekness. Meekness is bringing power under control. Jesus was meek. He wasn't weak. He could have spoke and leveled everybody at the cross, but he brought power under control for the benefit of everybody at the cross. Then you go on down, long suffering. You'll notice that every one of these are not about feelings. Doesn't have anything to do with emotion. It's not about you. It's about each one of these revolve around how we relate to and treat other people. You know what Jesus teaches us? Everything about the Christian life is not about you. Everything about the Christian life is about the people around you. You shouldn't come to church and go, man, I need something this morning. You ought to come to church going, I'm looking for somebody who needs what I've got this morning. I'm looking to where I can empty out because he's filled me up through the week. I'm looking to where I can be a blessing, not receive a blessing. You understand what I'm saying? That's the Bible. So not Joel Osteen, but it's the Bible, okay? So you shouldn't say that. I'm praying for him. All right, here we go. It doesn't, listen to me, this is hard right here. It doesn't depend on what they've done, even if they haven't made it right. How many of you was right when Jesus died? Last time I checked, Romans 5:8 said, God demonstrated his love for sinners for us, and yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't make a deal with the Lord to go, I'm trying the best I can do, but if you'll die for me and shed your blood, that'll help me out. You didn't do that. You was in your worst, most wicked place, just like me, and God said, I love you, even in the place where you hate me. Jesus prayed for the one who was driving the nails through his feet while he was doing it. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. It doesn't depend on what they have done or if they have made it right. Notice what he says, verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, look at this, even as Christ forgave you, so you all must do, also must do. Doesn't say when that person comes to you and bows down to you, when they come to you and apologize and tell you how sorry they are, when they make everything that they've done wrong right. It says, you forgive them. Why? How can I forgive them? They hadn't apologized. It doesn't matter that. The Lord prayed for forgiveness for us before we ever turned to him. You understand that? Every person that's ever breathed the breath of life has been forgiven. They just hadn't received it. Christ prayed a high priestly prayer there. And so think about this. He forgives before you ever asked for it. He made the way for an atonement. Wasn't dependent upon your salvation, dependent upon how much you cry or the prayer that you pray or how lowly you put yourself on the ground. Your salvation depends upon how much he loves you and if you'll receive that. Are y'all with me? Yeah. And so it doesn't depend on if somebody says or does something towards me sitting around waiting on them to come back and say how wrong they were. What it depends on is this, as Christ has forgiven me, I have to choose to forgive them, even if they never come around. How many of you say this is hard to swallow? It's very hard to swallow. It's very hard to swallow, but you know what? You drink enough water and you swallow it. Think about this, and if we want to just be honest, I'm almost talking about 5 minutes. Think about this, if we just wanted to boil the fat off of it, what we would say is, why can't I forgive? I'll tell you, P-R-I-D-E. It's just pride, that's all it is. Because we think, unforgiveness is this, I'm gonna hold on to this, I'm gonna hold this against you until you come to me and you treat me how I think I deserve to be treated. That you acknowledge how wrong you were, and once you say you're sorry just right, and you act how I think you ought to act, and you acknowledge my glory in the way that I believe I should be honored, then I might forgive you a little bit, but I'm going to hold on to part of that. That's not the way Jesus worked for me. Is it the way he worked for you? No. If you want to be honest, like I said, when I read that first, I read through that first list, I can keep going. I can roll a list out about my life as long as this aisle. Wicked to the bone, sorry, filthy, arrogant, self-righteous, hypocrite, church-going, religious, whitewashed wall, involved in any and every ungodly thing that you can imagine in life. I'm not by myself in this room, people. And I look at that and go, and while I was doing all that, While I was doing that and going to church every time the doors were open, Jesus continued to pursue me. And he continued to do well. You know why he pursued me? Not so he can go, hey, I got something, I got all this, this is getting bigger and bigger. I got all this against you. And I really would like to send you to hell right now. But if you just approach me just right, I might forgive you. No, he pursued me to go, I died to forgive you. I died to forgive you, and I can take all that away, and I can give you peace, and I can give you life, and I can give you joy. You know what happens? People think when they hold all that right there and you're waiting for your husband or your wife or a brother or a sister or mom or dad to come along, you're waiting for them to say just the right thing so you can feel like you're vindicated. Number one, you're putting yourself in the place of God. Okay? But when we hold on that, we think, there's no way I can just forgive. Let me say this. You know what this is? It's a bucket of bitterness. It's not even affecting that other person. They're not even probably thinking about you. And it gets bigger and bigger, turns to a dump truck, and it starts to crush you, and you get angry, and all of a sudden it spills out. Bitterness doesn't just stop. If I get bitter at this brother, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get bitter at him, I'm going to get bitter at her, I'm going to get bitter at you, because bitterness just grows, and it keeps growing, and it splashes on your family, and it splashes on the people you work around, and God's like, you know how you get rid of that? Choose to forgive. Right. Choose to go, you know what, here's what forgiveness is. You know what? I'm just going to release that. Because he released everything that I owed him. I want you to get that. Think about your pile of sin because it's huge. And at the moment that all you did, you didn't do anything. You're not making up for it. At the moment that you humble yourself to turn to Jesus, go, I've got this huge pile of sin that totally blasphemes you. I'm the reason your face was covered in spit. I'm the reason you were mocked and clothed in a robe. I'm the reason they beat your face until you couldn't be recognized as a man. I'm the reason your spine was hanging out because a cat of nine tails raked over your back. I'm the reason that your guts was dragging behind you when you were going down the Via della Rosa Road. That was because of me. And I'm simply asking you, because I believe you love me, show me mercy, God, forgive me. And God took your pile and went, it's gone. So let me ask you that. How can you continue to hold on to your little handful? How can you continue when somebody has compared to what I've done to the Lord, what people do to me? It's hold it in three fingers to go, what is this? Well, Lord, this is how stupid we are. Lord, you just don't understand. You don't understand what they said to me. Can you imagine standing at the cross? The Bible actually says in Isaiah 50, his face was so marred that he couldn't be recognized as a man. You stand there sitting here seeing his face so distorted and broken and bleeding. Scientists have proved that his guts were literally showing. His spine was showing. And you're going to sit there and go, you just don't understand. I'm hurt. You don't understand what this person said about me. You don't understand what she did to me. I think the Lord's like, yeah, you're right. I can't imagine what you feel. Isn't that crazy? But we choose to hold on to these things and go, no, I'm going to hold on to this. God's like, you know what? What you do, the way that you respond and the way that you treat others is a direct reflection on what we think of Jesus has done for us. When I hold on to unforgiveness, I'm like, Lord, the cross doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Your mercy doesn't mean a whole lot to me. This whole grace and love thing doesn't mean a whole lot to me. You know what? Because I'm consumed by me. I'm not worried about you, Lord. We're talking about me now. I'm the one that's been hurt. I'm the one that's been angry. I'm the one that's been done wrong. And so all I ask you to do this morning is, if you got that you're holding on to, number one, I want you to look at your relationship with Jesus. I want to go, all right, have I really received God's forgiveness in my life? Do I understand what he did to accomplish that? What did it take? Because I think we take it so lightly. What did it take for me to be able to be here in this room with this group of people today? Because if I wasn't his, I tell you, I wouldn't be here. And I love here. And I love the life that Jesus has provided for me. My life was headed for destruction. And God loved me enough to intervene and to confront me face to face and save my soul by what he accomplished for me. And I gladly took that and I go, God, you know, we talk about the goodness of God. God, this is so good. You're so good to me. He's like, I'm right. Now I want you to show that same goodness to that person that you're holding this against. I want you to go, Lord, not because they've come to me, not because they've made everything right, not because I feel like forgiven, but God, for your glory, for your honor, the greatest way I can ever express your image is to go, I choose to forgive even if they never respond. Some of us need to do that today. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I love you and I thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. I thank you for grace, all the illustrations and stories in the world never even scratched the surface to communicate the grace you've shown us. Thank you, Lord, that you continue even after we receive that. Lord, we choose to be angry, we choose to be bitter, we choose to be unforgiving, and we choose to gossip and backbite and judge and lie. Lord, I'm guilty of every bit of that. And you choose to continue to pursue us, to set us free from that. Lord, I don't want any place with the devil in my life. I hate him. And God, I just pray if we're going to be hateful, let us hate the devil. Lord, I want you to be honored in my life, in my family, in this church, through every ministry that we do here, Lord, that you would be the one that's seen high and lifted up. People know about you, see your love in us, God. I pray as a church family that we would love you enough to go, we will do whatever it takes in order that people see the love of Jesus in us. Father, I just pray if there's someone here that doesn't know that love, they've never come to the cross, they've never come to you to receive that mercy that you died to give them. Lord, I pray they would do that today in Jesus' name. Amen.